big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome back to the one and only Cavs the Podcast, featuring commentary from all of your favorite Cavs the Blog bloggers. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Welcome to Cavs the Podcast. I'm Nate Smith. I'm here with Chris Francis. On one of the last bastions of free speech on the internet, Cavs the Blog, the podcast, Cavs the Podcast.
Cavs the Enterprises.
Yeah. Losing money since 2009.
Exactly.
Anyway, it's been an awesome week for the Cavs. 12 straight. Tonight might have been their ugliest win of the season. I don't know, like, Detroit was pretty ugly, Garland's buzzer beater, but that was so beautiful, you kind of, like, you win the game on two straight great out-of-bounds defense plays, that's an ugly win, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, actually, you bring up a good point, which I think is they've not really had very many grit and grind JB Bickerstaff special wins this year. It's been mostly domination. Has been very
that being said, JB doesn't win this game.
Ooh. How oh, so?
Okay. So first of all, I thought this was Kenny Atkinson's best coach game of the year. Just being absolutely unafraid to put guys in. They don't got it. Pull them right back out. You saw, I thought his best adjustment was with about 5 minutes left. Miami was up by like 5 points, I think. And he came out with a big lineup of Mobley, Allen, and Hunter at the three. And it worked, but Allen didn't have it tonight for whatever reason. So he subbed Allen right out.
He kind of went balls to the wall last night.
So. Oh, yeah, fair. It wasn't a knock on Allen. I didn't think Allen had
He didn't have Mobley last night either.
Right. Yeah. I didn't have any issues with Allen.
Yeah. He just didn't have it. Yeah. I mean, you can't have it every night. So
yeah, exactly. It wasn't his night. And they 4:37, he put Mitchell back in for Allen. You know, Cavs, down five, and then I just thought the coaching down the stretch was fantastic with the plays they were running against the zone. I thought, let's be honest, DeAndre Hunter is making him look really good. DeAndre Hunter has just been a maven in crunch time for the Cavs. Like,
well, it's so funny. Like, all the returns so far statistically say is like the greatest move that was ever made.
Oh,
like, he's just turned us into, like, what's interesting about the stats is that he's really turned us into a defensive juggernaut. First right. and foremost, the offense was already elite, but like, and he even actually what's funny is he's still juicing the offense slightly.
Right.
He's
I know
juicing the offense slightly, but we're now.
Well, that happens when you hit 55% from three.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly. Yeah. But now we're dominant defensively in a way we were definitely not before this season, at least. So
yeah, I mean, there are no weak links defensively. I think the Cavs get in trouble with size a little bit at times, especially against more athletic teams. But there is no George Niang weak link defensively on the floor anymore. And I think as much as I loved Karis, I love to see him in a Cavs uniform again. The emergence of Ty Jerome has definitely made that Karis LeVert trade possible.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. The trade doesn't happen without Ty Jerome's emergence, really, because that's really the backfill that Karis was really needed for, was that third ball handler besides Garland and Mitchell. So
yeah,
no, absolutely. 100%. I mean, hopefully that ankle is okay. You know, I see him wearing those Steph Curry ankle things.
Hunter?
No, Ty Jerome.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
My only concern with him is he's playing like not even, has he even taken a game off really this year? One or two.
Yeah. He missed some games going into the All-Star break.
Okay, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, there's one little stretch, but it was barely anything. It was like a couple games.
Yeah, exactly. And it was probably, my guess, it was one of those things where he could have played, but get this guy rest going into the All-Star break.
Yeah, and then you can double the rest there. Yeah, absolutely makes sense.
And then coming out. And I just, so many great contributions tonight on a night where, I mean, it's a twofold issue. One, I thought that this had trap game potential for sure, as the Cavs, you know, eke out a 112-107 win over Miami. Definitely some trap game potential coming in because, you know, Miami missing like six mainline guys. But Miami's set up a little weird in that they have a lot of vets on the deeper bench. You know, they had Alec Burks come in and start tonight. They had Davion Mitchell come in. Haywood Highsmith played some minutes. Kyle Anderson had a big game. Like, these are not guys that are NBA rookies. And guys like that, they tend to wear down when they play a lot of minutes for a long time. But that's not what we're seeing here. And I thought Kevin Love gave him a really nice start off the bench. Cavs gave him a really nice ovation coming in. And I think it was his first time in 3 years that he'd been back.
That's so savvy of him to wait.
Well, I think he didn't want his relationship to crumble. With the Cavs.
Where's the tomatoes?
Where's the rock hard or the undercooked brownies?
Yeah, all right. Touche.
But another, and I think they let Miami get into a rhythm a little bit, and we're a little lackadaisical on D. But also, Miami team that's not going to, you have to beat them. They're not going to beat themselves, right?
Yeah, that's the thing, is Miami's always going to junk the game up.
Yeah.
And they're always going to be tough to beat.
Well, and let's be honest, Bam Adebayo had a great game. Adebayo, 34 points, 12 boards, 5 assists, turnovers.
You knew he was going to come in.
Well, yeah, but the new dimension is 3-for-5 from deep. Like, he was really, he kept him in that game. Like, he was lethal.
That's vaporware.
Could be vaporware, but he had a great game. Give the man his flowers, right?
No, I will. No, yeah. But I mean, like, of course, no, but he's a bum because, of course, he's going to get up for fucking Mobley. That's the reason why he got up. Come on. And guess what? He still took the L.
Yeah, well, and noted Cavs.
Guess who led the starters in plus minus? Evan Mobley plus 12.
Yes. Yeah, and, of course, noted Cavs killer Terry Rozier played 40 minutes and was
stunk up the joint.
Yeah, he was 3-for-14. He did not have a good game. I mean, the problem is Miami doesn't have a lot of options to go to, right? Like, their rest of their branches.
Well, yeah, they were benching Hero and who else?
Yeah.
I forget who
Kalel
else.
Kalel and
Jaime Jaquez. They just traded Butler too, so.
Jovic, like they've, they, yeah, yeah, they had a lot of mainline guys.
They should be tanking. I don't know if they're actually tanking, but they should be tanking.
Who knows? Duncan Robinson had a real nice game, too. But I mean, also
if you look at the box score, I mean, the story was the bench.
Oh, for the Cavs, but it's been the story all year.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean
that's really boils down to.
I mean, if you have to run Terry Rozier for 40 minutes to keep up with the Cavs, you're not going to win because the Cavs don't play anybody. Mitchell played 35 minutes. Mobley played 35 minutes and they led the team. And then you had Garland.
Which is a ton of minutes for them.
Yeah, you had Garland at 32 and nobody else over 30. So, and they ran a 10-man rotation.
I think KA is starting to modify the rotation a tad. Like he's starting to give a little bit more run to the better guys and a little less run to the worst.
Well,
guys.
Yeah, I mean, and as you get closer to the playoffs, you have to amp up those minutes.
Yep,
for sure. Like you know, those guys aren't going to play 28 minutes in the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, they need to stretch it to 40.
Yeah, and you saw I thought Okoro had a really nice game with 7 points and only 2 rebounds, but
well, I'll give him credit. At least it was better than last night.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Just double the production in half the time.
Yeah, I did not think he was very good against who did they lose? Who did they beat the night before?
Yeah, he stunk. I mean, it's just so obvious. Like, he's popcorn muscles is what he is.
Popcorn muscles.
Popcorn muscles. They mean nothing. His size, his strength means nothing because he won't get a damn rebound.
Yeah, well, I'll go with you there. And
I mean, Ty Jerome has a higher rebound rate.
Yeah.
So does Mitchell.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Is Sam Merrill have a higher rebound rate?
No. Okay. No. He finally beat Sam Merrill. Good for you, Isaac Coral. Oh, but anyway, hey, KA, shout out to KA. Guess who gave almost double the minutes to Sam Merrill versus Okoro? Something JB never would have done.
No. I'm not bitter.
God. Who wants to watch a guy whose only job is to play defense, and he doesn't even do that well. I'm sorry. You got to freaking rebound if you're a defender.
Yeah, you have to. Well, and he's not a big stocks guy either. Like, he is decent, but you would think that...
Anything. Do something.
Yeah, he is
My
not...
My freaking God.
He makes himself a buff pylon. You know, that's kind of his game.
I realize he's comedic relief for the team, which is fine. Let's just call it what it is, though. He's the Joker. He's the young TT.
Young TT. I don't share your disdain for Isaac Okoro, but I do say that his lack of rebounding is it's noticeable at times. Like it was so funny. What was the game over the weekend? Not Boston. Oh, I'm going to have to go to the results. Just hot Googling action. But there was a game where he had 3 defensive rebounds in like the first quarter, or 3 rebounds in the first quarter. And I was like, holy cow, this has got to be a record. Like he had like 3 rebounds in 3 minutes. It was amazing. And
the only excuse I buy for him is the injury. Because there was a moment in time. I remember what you're talking about. There was like a hot second where he was averaging like 6 or 7 rebounds in his minutes.
Yeah.
Like in like 20 minutes, which was amazing.
The Bulls game.
Everybody saw it. And then it was like it disappeared, which is always the case with him. I mean, he has 1 great rebounding game and then 30 shitty ones in a row.
Yeah. But.
I'm sorry. If you're a defender, rebound.
No, I'm with you. Like
Javonte Green just proved it. All you have to do is put in some effort. He's 6'4" as well. He's not even as strong as Okoro, but somehow he ended up with quintuple the rebounds in half the minutes.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Sorry, shout out to Nomad. That was for Nomad. Rebounding wins champion. There's this clown on in the Golden State Twitter who loves rebounding. He's a shout out to him too.
Shout out to random Golden State Twitter clown.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But he's right, when rebounding wins championships.
Yeah. So Cavs impressive win. Not really impressive, but just a gritty win against the Heat tonight. A monster game by Mobley. Some more free throw bugaboos. 2 for 7 from Mobley, but 16 and 13 rebounds and 3 assists. And the late game turnover bug really came back against the Cavs. They got the lead back and then turned it over 2 possessions in a row in crunch time, and really just careless turnovers, not paying attention to the ball pressure.
Yeah, I noticed Mitchell said something about it in the post game. He took ownership of the 2 he had. He said DG had 1.
Yeah.
And that was what pissed me off last night. You know, like, the reason why the game was so close last night
against,
was because who was it against? The Bulls?
The Bulls. Yeah. Well, it wasn't that close. That was the funny thing.
It was close for 42 minutes of the game. Well, come on.
Hilarious.
Yeah. No, the reason why it was close for 42 minutes is because DG, Donovan Mitchell, Ty Jerome played hero ball all night.
Yeah.
That's what they refused to feed J.A., Buzelis on him all night.
Yeah.
Who's a twink and a 19-year-old twink.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
And literally the only guys that would get J.A. the ball until the fourth quarter, until that run, was Max Strus. Max Strus was the only one who had his head on straight for 3 quarters of the night on offense.
Yeah, and there have been a lot of people saying, hey, Max Strus is kind of the extraneous dude on this Cavs team. I disagree.
Oh, hell no.
I've been very impressed.
They don't know anything.
Yeah, I've been very impressed with Max Strus the last few games. He seems to restore some sanity to the offense at times. He's just enough of an inside threat to keep defenses honest, and he'll pull from anywhere, right?
That's the thing, is it's not about what he does. It's not about what he does on the floor. It's about his mentality as a professional, as a veteran, as a competitive motherfucker. Like he is a guy. Like, they even did a little pregame thing or a midgame thing. You know, like, they interviewed his teammates or whatever. And someone had a great quote. I forget who it was. Maybe it was DG or JA or somebody. But basically they said, like, oh, he's going to tell you if you're screwing up, and he's going to let you know. And he's going to, like, not sugarcoat it. You know, like, he's not going to spare your feelings at all. Yeah. Like, and you see it on the court. He's the guy that – he's basically assumed the role that kind of, like, Niang fulfilled and TT fulfills. You know, it's just that we're not going to get bullied. We're going to come at you all night long.
We're
going to
execute.
Yeah, we're going to execute. And we're going to be ruthless. He's a ruthless competitor. That's what I love about Max Strus. Max Strus, shout out to Max Strus. Ruthless competitor. Ruthless competitive edge. That's what it takes to win a championship. You need Max Strus if you want to win a championship.
No, he's glue.
So, well said. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think he is the Cavs. He is the glue guy in that starting lineup to me.
Yeah. Oh, and they're plus 30 on the season, by the way.
What do you mean?
Max Strus plus the 4.
Plus
30. Plus, they're like insane.
Net rating?
They're insane. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's the glue guy, and he's the reason you can bring DeAndre Hunter off the bench. And just DeAndre Hunter just been such a lethal closer for them.
That's the thing, is like, being able to bring Hunter off the bench is such a luxury. Also, it's just like practically good, because then he gets shots.
Right.
He's not getting shots with Mobley and Mitchell on the court.
And Garland. Yeah.
And Garland. Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
But I love that he also has complete agency to go get his own points. Like,
exactly.
They don't yell at him when
ISO game.
Yeah, he has that ISO game, and he gets to the line.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah, and he's 6'8 with go-go gadget arms.
Yeah, he's 6'. Yeah, he plays. Is he listed at 6'8?
He's listed at 6'8.
Yeah, he looks
7'2 wingspan, I think.
Yeah, he plays like he's 6'10, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and he can play three positions. They played him at center against the Bulls for a hot second.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And let's just talk about that Bulls game for a minute, because that game was hilarious. The Cavs ripped off a 32-7 run in 6 minutes to just blow a game that was it tied or. Yeah, it was tied.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then they ended up winning by 22. Like, they just destroyed the Bulls in those last.
And all they had to do was feed J.A.
Feed J.A., rebound, feed J.A. run the floor.
Exactly. That's all they did. It was the J.A., Max Strus, and Javonte Green show. Yeah. It was beautiful for all the basketball fans who love rebounding, defense, and hustle.
Yeah, well, let's not forget Mac or Sam Merrill, who played gritty positional defense. And how about that challenge on that shot against was it Kobe White, where he challenged on that left wing three and got called for a foul, and it was as perfect a defense as you can play on a 3-point shooter without fouling him. And he got it overturned on the replay. It was beautiful.
Oh, right. Yeah. Only to blow it. Only they blew it on the subsequent play, I mean, Sam, it's so funny that he was glued to the, you know, I'll let it go, but I'm just sorry, JB, you fucked up.
Well, come on. Everything that happened before get you to where you are now. So I have no regrets
But I'm just saying, no, like the facts are he let Sam Merrill rot on the bench for a whole year. Let's just be clear about that.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm glad he did, because maybe if he didn't, we wouldn't have Kenny Atkinson in this team, the deepest Cavs team, one of the deepest NBA teams I've ever seen.
100%.
I mean, Jalen Tyson on most other teams would be getting rotation minutes. And
absolutely. It's crazy. Like, no, that's so funny. Like, you know, I was yelling, like, put in Tyson, put in CPJ. And it's like, no, the third string can play on this team.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like,
You've seen it. Yeah. You saw it against Chicago. I mean, the third early in the season, the Zoo Crew was blowing leads. And, you know, remember was a little bit lackadaisical.
Remember that game Kenny made them win the game?
I think it was Charlotte.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Charlotte. And they kind of screwed around at the end. And then,
Now they blow games wide. Like, they never lose a lead. They blow shit wide open.
Oh, yeah. I still love T.T. Duncan on the, was it the Pistons?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That was so funny. Like, people were upset about that. Come on. They were bird dogging CPJ
They were full court pressing him. Yeah. Like, down, like, what, 10 or whatever?
Exactly.
Like, come on.
Bunch of clowns.
Well, and Tristan gave it right to him. Like,
exactly.
You're going to do that, then you're going to get dunked on.
That's why your point about Max Strus or T.T., we need those guys. Like, they're going to help us.
Professional basketball players.
Yep. Amen.
And I think there's a fine line with Garland and Mitchell. Sometimes they do need to do hero ball. Sometimes, because there's going to be moments that you have to do that in the playoffs. And it's a fine line to walk of, like, when do you go for your shots,
They got to figure it out. I think, actually, that's a great point you just made, because I think that is what they're working on recently. Yeah. But it went overboard with the Bulls game.
Yeah, well, and then you saw tonight, they were overpassing tonight. You saw that one where Garland had the pull-up shot at the top of the key and overpassed it, and then it was a shot clock violation. And Richard Jefferson called him out on the broadcast. He's like, you got to shoot that.
Well, I think The one thing I'll pull back on criticism of all their shot taking last night was the one thing they didn't do is turn the ball over.
Yeah.
So at least they put up a freaking shot.
Yeah.
You know, like at least they put up a shot. If all you're going to do is just turn it over, then put the freaking shot up.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. And when we come back, this is probably the longest we've gone without a break to open a podcast because it's just you and me and we're just shooting the beat.
Yeah, we got to catch up.
When we come back, we'll talk about the Celtics game because that was the one that I think got us all excited. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to Kazza Podcast. I'm Nate Smith. I'm here with Chris Francis. We just talked a whole segment without realizing that the recording was on. And you guys missed it. It was probably the greatest segment in history.
I know, exactly. My freaking God.
So many things were revealed.
I'm so mad.
Chris, are you still there?
I am still here.
Okay, I saw you mute yourself. I mean, it was like we just went into so much. So first off, we took on the Blazers game, which went to overtime. It's like Moneyball. We can't replace it, but we can recreate it in the aggregate.
Wow, is that an actual line from the movie?
We can't replace him, but we can recreate him in the aggregate.
God,
that was a Billy.
Whoever said that should have been shot on the spot.
Well, it was Billy Bean.
Parody, metaphorically.
Billy Bean, and I think one of the funniest castings of all time is Brad Pitt playing Billy Bean. Right?
Yeah. Well, no, you know who I imagine really actually saying that is Daryl Morey.
Says, "Stop calling me Joel." I don't know who leaked. I don't know who leaked it.
They hate each other now, don't they?
Who knows? What a dysfunctional franchise. And I'm so happy to see it.
Yeah.
It could
process forever, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. It could not happen to a nicer bunch of morons. Cavaliers game. First of all, welcome to Cleveland, DeAndre Hunter. 32 points, 11 of 12 from the line. You know, as we noted, his jump shot is pure. It's so hard to block. And if you get up on him, he'll get by you, get you on his hip and either score or get to the line. Right.
Has that
ISO game.
Yeah. No, I mean, the point I made before, it's just people mistake his cool demeanor for passivity.
Yeah.
But he's actually a low key physical player, low key athletic player. And he's just a cool customer
with go gadget arms.
Yeah, with go with 17 wingspan. Baby.
Yeah.
So
and
then the call was Ty Jerome and DeAndre Hunter are winning us the chip this year.
Yeah, I mean double Cavalier lineup. This should be co-six men of the year.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
The double Cavalier one in gold. I don't know, something like that.
Something. But I mean that another guy. Actually, shout out to Ty Jerome because he's also a competitive psycho too.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. We went long on Ty Jerome, or no, Max Strus, glue guy.
Max Strus. Yeah. Yeah. So Ty Jerome. Ty Jerome also has that low key, that New York swagger, confidence, asshole-ish.
Oh my God. The thing I love so. Yeah, we can get into Ty Jerome here in a minute, but we're talking DeAndre Hunter. I talked about Kobe Altman needs to be GM of the year for the DeAndre Hunter trade because, what was it, 3 seconds, half a year of Caris LeVert. They took another year of Georges Niang. Who else they get? A bunch of pick swaps that are never going to happen. For DeAndre Hunter, a guy who was scoring almost 20 points a game and has turned the Cavs from a very good team into an absolute juggernaut.
That was the thing. I remember, the stats are just, they're insane right now. Like, he's completely changed the paradigm of the defense for us.
Yeah.
That's the main.
Well, you can't just hunt Georges Niang all on your bench lineups, right?
Yeah,
that's what teams would do.
Absolutely, 100%, 100%, and he rebounds enough, and also he works with other lineups and guys who will rebound, like Max Strus, or you know, sometimes Sam Merrill, sometimes Okoro, sometimes Dean Wade for sure.
Yeah,
you know, he works with other rebounding guys, so he's the key to us really improving rebounding, even though he's not a known as a rebounding guy.
Well, right, but the team rebounding improves when he's on the floor.
Yes, yeah,
you know,
right.
There was a great stat back years and years ago. If Tom Pestak listened to this podcast, Delly was like not a great rebounder, but he was 90th percentile as a guard for improving his team's rebounding when he was on the floor. And most of that was just blocking out,
getting strong,
recovering to the free throw line on long rebounds, all that kind of stuff. Like all the stuff that Isaac Okoro doesn't, you know,
fails to do.
Meat Cone doesn't do.
Gosh, please, for the love of God.
Yeah,
I mean, and, I will sing your praises if you just freaking rebound.
Yeah.
I don't even care if you go 0-for-12 anymore. Just grab a damn rebound.
Yeah. And yeah, so we talked about that. We talked about the Trailblazers and Toumani Kamara.
Oh, right. Yeah, you made that great point about contracts. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he is on $2.2 million next year, and then I think $2.4 million a year after that. And a super cheap contract. And these are the kind of contracts that you have to improve in the NBA. You have to, you know, you have to make chicken salad out of chicken shit. You have to be able to develop
margins.
Guys.
It's all about the margins. Yeah.
Yeah. Develop guys at the end of your roster into players. You know, the Cavs have done it with Craig Porter Jr., pulling rabbits out of hats. They've done it with Ty Jerome, just getting an off-the-street free agent that's going to be sixth man of the year, right?
Yep.
They've done it with Dean Wade. They've done it with now they're doing it with Tomlin, you know, Daquan.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Naquan Tomlin.
Amani Bates. Yeah. Shout out to him. Second
round. I got some stories there.
Ooh.
For later. Spicy. I mean, that's the kind of moves you got to make. So, and also the fact that the Cavs have multiple of those moves is why Kobe Altman should be GM of the year. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Absolutely. Free Ubers for life.
So then, we talked about, you know, part of, oh, the other guy, Sam Merrill, also on that list. You know, and we talked about part of the problem with Sam Merrill right now is he's in his own head a little bit shooting.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Static versus dynamic motion.
So, we're talking about static versus dynamic motion, and it's a thing in golf, and it's part of muscle memory, you know, and learning how.
Well, and to engage what you were saying, to engage that brain wave of to basically engage your subconscious mind and turn off the conscientious part.
Yeah. And to get yourself in a motion so that you're not frozen. You know, there's a reason baseball players always move when the ball is hit. Whether or not they move the right way doesn't always matter as much as the fact that they're moving. Because when you sit there and you freeze and you try to overanalyze it, you don't move as quickly. You don't have as fast of reflexes.
You know who you just made me think of? The greatest example of what you're just talking about is Gary Sheffield. Gary Sheffield. Like, he waggled that bat in such a ridiculous manner that, like, no batting teacher would ever teach you to do that. But because he was not in a static position, he was in motion, he was able to crank. I mean, God, the guy had like probably 500 home runs in his career, you know, from a batting position that you'd never teach, other than he had a rhythmic motion that he could time it. He could time the ball.
Well, and you talked about a little bit of Donovan Mitchell and his
free throw line.
Issues at the free throw line, right? Why does he get himself in trouble sometimes?
He freezes. He has this ritual where he wants to do these breathing, calming down exercises before he shoots the ball, or before he does this calming ritual, and then he engages the ritual that he does. But the problem is that what happens is in his calming process, he ends up like his favorite thing to do is shake the ball before he shoots. He loves to shake the ball, feel it in his hands, and then he shoots the ball. But the problem is that he, in the course of shaking it, he's also calming himself down. And what happens is he starts to freeze sometimes. He freezes. He stops shaking the ball just before he shoots, and he just stops and he freezes. And it's clear like he just – and then he tries to shoot it, and then it's almost – I mean like 99% of the time it's a miss. I'm actually shocked that he's actually this good of a free throw shooter with that bad of a hitch, that bad of a ritual.
Yeah, it's not the hit, it's the ritual, because his shooting – he's a very good shooter.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a perfect form. Yeah, exactly. It's the ritual. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, and we talked about, you know, one of the things I was – mentioning was like professional archers, they actually track their brain waves so that they can always be in the same brainwave state when they make the perfect shot, so that
they know what it feels like to be.
They actually do it via a sound feedback. So when they're
Pavlovian response.
Well, no. So they track their brainwave, and when their brain is on the right wave, it makes a sound. And then
but doesn't that make them conscious? And then like,
well, that's why you learn to practice, work through that. Right. It's all biofeedback, right?
Donovan Mitchell, get on this, please. Yeah.
Well, and you know, I'm gonna be taking some of this to heart with bowling when I bowl tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. Are we? This is the night.
Well, my coach is my coach is in town. My coach is in town.
Is this the night before Nate's first 300?
No. Have you bowled a 300? No, not at all. But, you know.
Have you broke 200?
Yes, my high game's 225.
That's really freaking good. Like, that means you missed, like, what, two frames?
I had six straight strikes, and I had, like, two open frames, and the rest were close. But... something like that.
Oh my God! You pulled a Sam Merrill. you really did.
Well, there's a lot more variables in bowling, you know, there, because you've got oil on the lane and you know, your ball is.
Do you have your own shoes?
So I have. So my coach is in town, first of all, and of course you asked me about my bowling coach, and. She is not really my bowling coach. She's my wife's best friend. But her and her husband coached my daughter when she bowled in high school. And she and her husband have multiple 300 games. I think her husband's high series is like 830 or something. Like, it's insane how good of bowlers they are. And multiple 800 series, which if you don't bowl, that means you had at least 266.7 on every game, which is insane, like how hard it is to get an 800 series.
Basically you're hitting strikes almost every time, basically.
Yeah, exactly, right? you probably never left a frame open. She's very good, and I'm gonna try and get her to help me with the kind of that starting in motion and
it's getting interesting you didn't answer the question.
Oh, what was that?
Do you own your own shoes?
Oh, I do. Absolutely, I own my own shoes. I own my own. I have two balls. I have a spare ball and a strike ball. My name is Nate Smith. I may have a bowling problem.
Yes.
But of course, I have my own shoes, and they look like Air Jordans.
Ooh.
I may take a picture of my shoes, and that might be the cover photo.
Dude.
For the podcast here.
I gotta see these.
I mean, a little bit. They're Dexters, but they have that color scheme, is what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, I know Dexter's are legit bowling shoes, but I thought you had Nike bowling shoes.
No.
You led me astray. I thought you had
No, I'm saying they have that color scheme.
I thought you were such a bowling sicko.
No, I'm not. I'm not that big of a bowling sicko. Because for one thing, Chris, I'm extraordinarily cheap. So but yeah, so I'll be using these tomorrow.
I'm smelling 300.
If you had Jordans,
I'd feel more
I have
confident.
Not broken 200 in a couple years, so I would like to do it again.
I smell 300. I'd smell 300 more if you had Air Jordans.
Well, I would like to smell 200 and then we'll talk.
Okay.
But yeah, that Trailblazers game was fantastic. You know, played down to them a little bit, but they're kind of that long team that always gives the Cavs trouble. They were also coming off a very big Boston win. And I know we teased it before the last break, but I kind of feel like we got to go to another break and then we'll get into Boston.
All right.
And this time we won't go away. Or we won't record a whole segment and not come back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Cats of Podcast. I'm Nate Smith. I'm here with Chris Francis. We didn't, you know, we weren't able to conjure the magic of the lost segment, but we recreated it in the aggregate, you know, to quote Billy Beane in Moneyball. So now we're on to the biggest game of the year for the Cavs, right? Friday, March 28th, Boston Celtics, Cleveland Cavaliers. And let me just paint the picture for you a little bit, Chris. I did not watch the game live because... I did not watch the game live because I went and watched the Cleveland Charge in Grand Rapids play. And for some reason, Grand Rapids G League team is the Gold, the Grand Rapids Gold, which is the Denver affiliate, which makes no sense at all from a geographic standpoint. But here we are.
That's a haul. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a great night. It was Flint Tropics night.
No way.
So they're all watching. There was live bear wrestling at halftime.
That's terrifying.
It was a guy in a bear suit.
Oh.
But okay.
I assume Grand Rapids meant real bear.
No, it was a guy in a bear suit. It was actually pretty fantastic. I appreciated the total commitment to the bit. Yeah. Like, just the full minor league glory of a really ridiculous promo. And we are going to give it 100% earnestness, which is what that kind of marketing requires. So sure. It was beautiful. Watch the Cavs. Well, we'll get into that in a little bit. But as I'm sitting there, my phone starts blowing up and I'm like, what the? And I literally had to mute you guys because I'm getting Cavs did not get off the bus. Cavs just totally decided to quit on this game instead of showing up. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be just a total beatdown. Right. And what was going on in the game at that time when you're texting this? What was going on in the first quarter?
Well, I mean, they just came out tight. I mean, they knew it was the biggest game of the year. Boston crowd was keyed up. Jasons were playing, or the Jays were playing, so they had no excuses, even though Drew and KP were out. So, granted, they were kind of playing around, or they didn't want to give us the full victory or whatever. They were playing possum a little bit, but... other than that, I mean, like, it just felt
well. Well, that was going on the scoreboard. The Cavs were down 25-3.
Yep.
At the 7-12 mark of the first quarter.
Yeah, and then Jason Tatum proceeded to think the game was over.
And like, did that? What did he say? What did he mouth?
You know, he told us to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, exactly.
He told us Cavs to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Well. Then from that moment on, the Cavs finally, well, thank God KA made the subs.
Right.
So.
Out came Mitchell and Mobley, and in came the double Cavaliers, Jerome and Hunter.
Yeah, absolutely. And they stabilize. I mean, the game was stabilized by the second quarter. I mean, hell, it was probably stabilized at the end of the first quarter. They just, you could tell, like.
Yeah, I mean, it was 38-26, but it wasn't completely, like, out of reach, right?
No, and what they said at the juncture of the game was, I don't know if a player got interviewed after the first quarter, but basically, it might have been even Ty Jerome, but just, there was a recognition on the Cavs' part where, like, hey, we've given up 38-point quarters before. Let's play. Three quarters to go, let's play. And that's exactly what they did, and what it was exactly what we referenced before, and what you pointed out before was it was Donovan having to be special for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then what that did was it gave other guys confidence, and then they started getting in on it. You know, Mobley starts getting in on it, and other guys started getting on it. A DG gets, you know, it was an infectious spread of confidence because Donovan Mitchell played, I mean, he owns the Celtics. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell has the highest career points per game against the Celtics of any player in the NBA, in the history of the NBA. Bigger than Michael Jordan, bigger than Luka Doncic, bigger than whoever the hell else is on that list, is Donovan Mitchell number one.
Yeah.
And so he did what he does. Is he's an MVP. He did what he's supposed to do. And the guys followed, and they had a glorious victory over the fascist Boston Celtics.
Yeah, so. And let's talk about some other enormous contributions. I mean, first of all, let's get into the play-by-play of the fourth quarter, because I thought that, I mean, Cavs were still down 5 in the fourth quarter to start. And then they ended up tying it with, like, at 100. And then I don't think they got a lead until Mobley hit that 3, the 8:43 mark. And then it was kind of a mini Cavalanche, right? Like, the Cavs.
Yeah, they didn't relinquish the lead from that point, right?
No, yeah, exactly. And, yeah, the Cavs scored 3 straight buckets, or not 3 straight buckets, but the Cavs basically went up, 6 points at the 5-minute mark. And no, they did give up the lead because Boston tied it with 3 minutes left at 114.
Well, they didn't give up a lead.
Right. Well, fair. It was tied. But then Mitchell just took over in the last 3, you know, the last 2 minutes.
This was everything that we wanted Mitchell to be and everything that Mitchell is supposed to be. That he is that guy. He can carry a team and take us to the promised land.
Yeah.
He is that guy.
Yeah.
And he's going to show, that's the mission he's on this year. That's why I called it. You know, when I said, you know, I was being facetious, but I wasn't, you know, they were winning a chip. That's what I believed in. I believed in his competitive nature. I think he did. He knows he never wanted to go out like that. And he's got vendettas to settle.
Oh, absolutely. You
know? He's got vendettas to settle in his professional, in a professional sense.
Yeah.
And he's coming to collect this year. You could tell, because the Donovan Mitchell of before would never have taken a step back. Would never have let DG shine, Mobley shine, Jay shine, Ty Jerome shine. He doesn't care now.
No, he just wants to win. He wants the hardware.
Yeah, he just
wants to win. And the rings. He wants the rings.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't care about trophies.
No, he doesn't care about anything but rings.
Yeah.
Rings. And that's why I love him. That's why he's the MVP. That's why he's going to show everybody who he is this playoffs, is because he's on a mission. And he's not going to rest until he's finished that mission.
Yeah, and that game he had 41 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds.
the most crucial rebound. That was a crucial third rebound, by the way. I think that's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there were so many crucial. The Cavs won, like, crazy enough. Like, despite
DG hit some clutch shots down the stretch too in that game.
Yeah, he did, and also the Cavs won the possession game. Right.
Bingo.
Right. Bingo. The Cavs had only 7 turnovers to Boston's 11, and won the rebound battle 44-40.
There you go. See, and that's what Kenny Atkinson talks about. That's so funny that all these clowns and bozos want to say rebounding doesn't matter. Straight from the horse's mouth, KA says, what's the playoffs about? Possession game.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
You got to secure the ball. You have to have more possessions than the other team.
Exactly. That's the only chance you have to win is if you have more possessions. Because the teams are too good in the playoffs. They are going to punish every mistake you make. So and, all that matters is, can you get more chances?
Yeah, and let's talk about the craziest stat line of that game. Ty Jerome, plus 34.
Exactly.
And didn't even have a great line.
No.
But he ran the offense and
that's the thing.
Played the defense.
It's not about his stats. It's about his mentality of the game.
Yeah, oh, and he destroyed Peyton Pritchard.
God, thank God. That's what I was thinking about. So every voter that votes Peyton Pritchard, you're a fraud.
For sixth man of the year?
Yes.
Oh,
you
God.
You don't know basketball. You should go unalive yourself. Seriously.
No, you shouldn't do that. But you should maybe dunk your head in freezing cold water.
Quit your job. Okay, fine. Quit your job. I was just making sure we still have free speech. Quit your job. Because you don't deserve to write about basketball. Because you don't know anything about it if you vote for Peyton Pritchard.
No, I'm with you. And yeah, I will take a little bit of issue with one thing you said, and that
we're taking on the Boston media mafia right now.
Oh, absolutely. I do think it does. I do think it matters that, you know, Kristaps Porzingis and to a greater extent, in my opinion, Drew Holiday was out because the Cavs went after Sam Hauser.
Oh God, they beat him like a, wow.
Yeah. They beat him like a drum. And let's talk about Jason Tatum had a monster game. You know, he had 46, 16, and 9. And but the Cavs won the possession game. Like, they out-possessed Boston. That's why they won.
That's the thing I like about Kenny coaches like the playoffs.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we did this against Denver. I mean, Jokic had a triple-double, and I think Murray had one of the best games of the year. I think he went off for like 30 against us, but we beat their asses. They went off, and it did not matter one bit.
Well, and that's what the Cavs do.
They
grind you into dust. Like,
exactly.
Jason Tatum had to play 41 minutes. Derek White had to play 41 minutes. Jaylen Brown had to score 37 points. And the Cavs ran a 10-man rotation. And that bench unit, Ty Jerome plus 34. DeAndre Hunter plus 21. Sam Merrill plus 22. Only one of those guys in double figures, and that's DeAndre Hunter. But it didn't matter because just that energy. How many rebounds did they have off the bench? They had...
mentioned is it's the veterans.
18.
It's the veterans. It's the guys that are 28, 29 years old. This is it. This is their career. Like, this is their chance to define who they are as a basketball player.
And also, they out-rebounded Boston's bench 18-5.
There you go.
Like,
that's the energy. That's the energy. That's there's no clearer. Yes. Perfect. 10 out of 10, Nate. Exactly.
Would recommend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Rebounding wins championships. Shout out to that loser. Shout out to the bozo, the ex cokehead Dia Golden State fan. Shout out to you, bro. I fist bump you. Oh.
Testify. Yeah.
I'm going to remember his name. I'm going to go back and look at his name. And if we take another break, I'll go back and look at his name.
And it's crazy how much Boston has adjusted since that game. Like, Torrey Craig is playing a lot more minutes now.
Ooh.
Which is crazy.
So they're trying to know I know. See, that's the thing is that, it's probably to replace Sam Hauser because he got beat like a drum. You know, that's who they targeted. And Pritchard, of course, too.
Yeah.
They beat him both like a drum.
Oh, I guess he was playing a lot more minutes before that. And, like, never mind. I think I'm talking out of my butt. But,
well, no, I mean, I have my own choice Boston friends or whatever. But, the thing is that part of it's their coasting, part of it's their tinkering and playing and experimenting. But, I think like the thing is that, they made a mistake.
What was the mistake?
They made a mistake. They gave us confidence.
Oh yeah. I agree. I think
they made a mistake.
You know, you saw it the year before that remember the crazy comeback where, Dean Wade was just in fuego. No,
exactly. So that's the thing.
The previous season.
When you look at who Cleveland has struggled with in the Mobley era. So let's define it in the Mobley era. Who have the Cavs struggled against? It's not Boston. It's not Boston. It's Philly and New York.
Yeah.
That's who we've always struggled with. Those are the bad matchups for the Cavs is the Knicks and who's the other rebounding team? I forget. I just said it. Oh, my God.
Philly.
Thank you. Embiid. Yeah. Embiid owns both of them are bigs. But he's now a cripple. So they're done.
Yeah,
so
well, and it's kind of a mixed bag against Milwaukee.
There's no other team we struggle against in the Eastern Conference.
Other than the Knicks.
Other than the Knicks and the Sixers.
Yeah. Yeah, and the
in
Knicks.
In the regular season.
Yeah.
In the regular season.
And the Knicks still scare me because they
got Mitrov back.
They got Mitrov back, yeah, and Mitrov's a Cavs killer.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll be interested to see how that develops because, like, it's a thing where, like, you were just talking about with minutes. You know, obviously Tibbs is grinding them in the dust as well.
Yeah. Never go full Tibbs.
Does that work in the Cavs' favor, finally?
Oh,
Do we get that payoff finally against the Knicks in the playoffs if we have to face them?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm loving the way the seeding is stacking up right now.
Number one seed. The thing is we got the number one seed.
And they've already said Boston's given up on getting it. Right.
Oh, really? Are they starting?
Well, they're eight games out.
No, I mean, 20 games
to go.
I mean, to me, I think that you'd wait till at least the magic number to start really resting guys, though.
Yeah, but part of it is schedule, too. Like, the Cavs have schedule remaining.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Well, we do have a lot of back-to-backs, though.
Well, yes. I don't worry as much about back-to-backs with the Cavs because they are so deep.
Well, of course. I know.
But
that's the it's so funny. Like, Kenny Atkinson has navigated the whole season with very little injuries because he's religiously
Knock on some wood, rub a rabbit's foot there because I don't. But yes, the way they have approached managing player health, managing injuries, managing minutes is as important as any improvement Kenny Atkinson has made over the previous regime. Maybe 100%. The most important from a long-term standpoint.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely, dude, that is an excellent point because like, yeah, guess what? If you can get Donovan Mitchell to extend his career out to like 35, 36 and coincide with a decade or more of Evan Mobley's prime, like that's a dynasty.
Yeah, I don't even want to think that far ahead. I'm just thinking about for this year, playoffs. You know, that's my focus. I don't want to. In the words of Evil Genius, all I ever wanted was one. So
there you go. Well, we got it, dude.
This team I want to see get a championship.
Everything else has been gravy.
Yeah, this season it's a season of gravy.
It's a season of
We're talking 50 Shades of Gravy here, baby.
Dude, you're making me hungry. You're making me really hungry, dude.
I never told you about 50 Shades of Gravy. It's my
what the hell is that?
Long haul trucker couple that is into S&M. It's an erotic travel novel.
Does this exist?
It's a joke. It's based on 50 Shades of Gray.
It's really good though. I like it. This has potential.
Anyway,
this has a lot more potential than 50 Shades of Gray. I'll tell you that much.
Anyway, as it stands right now, the Cavs are number one.
Why are you running away from greatness, Nate? I'm running away from graviness.
Because this is ostensibly a Cavs podcast. The Celtics are going to play the Knicks in the second round if they win out.
I love it.
But beat yourselves up all day long. Milwaukee is four.
So who's the toughest? What's the toughest path that we can create for the Cavs right now?
I honestly don't want to play Detroit in the first round.
I agree.
They have nothing to lose. Well, yeah, and they will just beat the crap out of you.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and up the game.
And their style is the exact style that beats the Cavs.
Yeah, I mean.
To a team. It's ISO ball. Shitty offense, but they're gonna bang the boards. They're gonna be physical.
You got beef stew out there mixing it up all game.
Every single player they're gonna put out is gonna be 6'8" or taller,
and they're just gonna be gooning it up the whole game.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah, that's the and of course you got Milwaukee, Indiana, and Detroit are all sitting within a game and a half of each other.
Those are all tough.
And they're all within a game and a half of each other between the 4 and 6 seed.
Ooh.
So I honestly...
How do you rank 4 through 6?
Who I want to play or who's the best? No.
Who do you think is the best? Like in a vacuum?
I think it's Milwaukee.
Really?
Well, they have the best player. Giannis is the best player on any of those teams.
Okay.
You can't argue with that.
No, absolutely no. No. I wouldn't argue with that.
Yeah, and then also they're the most experienced.
Fair.
And I just think.
What about their lack of athleticism and
outside of Giannis?
Exactly. What about that, and also the fact that, I mean, the history
and the Doc Rivers situation.
Yeah. And also the history shows we play well against them. Like,
oh yeah.
Somehow, J.A.
I'm just talking about pure regular season here, right? Yeah. I think they're the best of those three teams.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Also, they're going to get the most whistles because they got the biggest star.
Right. Well, yeah. He's a fraud. Yeah. He's a ref merchant.
Agree. But he's not a fraud, but he is a ref merchant. I'll say that. You know, Indy, I think, is a little too soft. I don't think they're built for the playoffs. I think Detroit is just going to keep beating people up. They're 9-1 in their last 10. You know, I don't see them getting worse.
No, they're going to get better. They're young. Yeah.
I would love to see them stay right at the 6th seed. That way I don't have to play them in the first two rounds.
Oh, that'd be amazing if they could beat up on the Knicks.
Yeah. Yeah, or Boston.
Yeah.
And then the 7 through 10 is the only team in that group that scares me is Orlando if they get healthy and figure some stuff out.
Yeah, Orlando and the Heat to me.
Yeah, but you heard Suggs is out for the year.
Yeah. No, yeah. Suggs is their key. Suggs was their key.
Well, Suggs is a big key for them, and he's a guy that plays weirdly. He's one of those guys that just really plays well against the Cavs. And I think it's a twofold thing. The Cavs have, he's competitive.
He's their Ty Jerome.
The Cavs have smaller guards.
Yeah. Yep.
He gets up in their grill. He beats them up.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
You know,
it's a good matchup for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a matchup he likes. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not overly scared of the Magic. Like, there's
no, I am, because they are a physical team.
They are a physical team and they have
defense.
They have two guys that are matchup problems for the Cavs and Paolo
I remember Franz last Wagner. Last year, I remember making the comment, and it was plainly obvious. Go back and look at the tape if you don't believe me, that Orlando was a much more physical team against the Cavs than Boston was.
Oh, 100%.
Not even a question. Yeah. Not even a question. Boston's more skill. They can put more skill on the floor, but they are, like, I like how soft they are.
When do the wheels fall off Horford? Because the wheels were a little rickety in that Boston game.
It's happening.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're going to load manage him, and also he's going to get up. Come on.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even know what you said, but
good.
You know, I do hear they're big fans of the juice. So, OJ Simpson. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know exactly. Test him.
Yeah, I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised to see John Collins end up on that team next year.
Woo! Oh, Balco, we got another Balco here.
Anyway, yeah, but none of those, like, Atlanta doesn't scare me at all. Chicago doesn't scare me.
No.
They're trying to fall out of. Do you think Philly makes it into the 10, or is Embiid out for the year?
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to play Philly.
They have an incentive to tank because if they do,
is it the lottery protection on their pick?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So their motive, like, if they don't tank, Oklahoma City gets their pick.
Yeah. Yeah. We want them to tank.
Yes.
For multiple reasons.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you see the Jazz Wizards game was like a fight to see who could play worse?
I heard. Adam Silver's NBA.
Yeah. Adam Silver's NBA, baby. So I'm liking the way things stack up right now. In a perfect world, the Knicks and Celtics beat each other up in the first round.
That's how you knew the Cavs were locked in.
Yeah.
Cause they got the one seed.
Yeah. Well, and Milwaukee, I don't hate as a second round matchup. I don't want to play Philly. Or I don't want to play Detroit in the first round.
Detroit or Philly are probably the two teams. Who knows what's going on with Embiid. I actually shouldn't even talk about Embiid because he changes his mind every day about what the hell he's doing. So
yeah, no, he's a flake.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Detroit and Philly would definitely be the two worst matchups.
I mean, it just goes to show James Harden. Having James Harden on your team ruins everything.
I'm not going to put that on James Harden.
Come on. He did not start flopping for fouls like a lunatic until James Harden got on there.
Oh, no, you're right. Okay. No, I see what you're saying. Okay. No.
Embiid was a flopper, but when he got with Harden, they took it to another level.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm excited.
Daryl
Morey for prison. Yeah, that's right.
There's no one who deserves it more.
Ship him off to Hong Kong.
Absolutely. Let the Chinese have their way with him.
Oh, God.
President Xi. Our nation yearns for justice.
Winnie the Xi.
Yeah.
Trust the process. So the East, I'm loving the way it's stacking up. Here's a fun one. Does Evan Mobley win Defensive Player of the Year?
He should, if they have a brain.
I think the odds are good, just given if the Cavs have the best record.
He's our entire defense. Yeah, besides Hunter, apparently.
Well, and Ty Jerome's wraparound steal move.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's insane.
I've never seen a guy as good
basically
at the wraparound.
He takes our defense from crappy to amazing.
Yeah, no, he's very, very good.
So I mean, yeah, I don't.
I mean, selfishly, I kind of don't want it to happen because then that kicks up his salary number.
Right, but I mean, who cares?
Well, yeah, it's just the Gilbert's
money.
No,
he deserves the accolades.
Oh, agreed. And
yeah, he's
Dan Gilbert can not raid a company this year, and we'll be good.
Yeah, I hope his kid was nice, so I hope he doesn't turn out to be a Nazi.
Oh, I did not see that comment coming.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
And the whole
like because the kid's I guess gonna take over the team.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's all being set up for that.
Yeah. Right. So he seems like a nice kid, but hopefully, don't be a Nazi, Gilbert or whoever the hell you are.
Yeah, I mean,
Grant Gilbert.
Grant Gilbert.
Yeah, Grant Gilbert. Shout out to you, bro.
GG.
Nazi.
GG.
Don't be a Nazi. It's really easy to not be a Nazi. Really easy.
So yeah, I'm excited about the Caps. So sixth man of the year, coach of the year, defensive player of the year, MVP. Just sweep all the awards, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm down for that plan.
We're a historic team doing historic things.
Yeah, I'm very. I think right after All-Star break, we gave predictions, and you were the only one that predicted the Cavs would beat the 2009 Cavs, which had 67 wins, and I think they will beat it.
Wow!
There's actually an outside shot at some NBA history I would love to see happen, but I don't think the Cavs will entertain this.
I guarantee you that Donovan Mitchell told the team that the goal is get the number one seed for the finals.
Yeah.
That's when we can start resting for the playoffs. Get the number one seed for the finals, and then we can rest.
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you. And I hope the goal is if they do rest that the onus is on those guys that come in from the G League. I think that's part of the reason you haven't seen them playing G League players as much is they know they're going to need those guys in the,
probably in the
garbage time of the season.
Yep.
Speaking of, I'm going to tell the rest of the story of my G League experience.
Ooh,
when we come back for the final segment. You're so funny, Chris. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Cavs Podcast. Nate Smith, Chris Francis.
Nate Smith.
Not Mr. Universe. Mr. Puniverse. Mr. Middle-aged man caught between 40 and 55. The Charge versus the Grand Rapids Gold. We had a triumvirate of players. So last year I went and watched that same game. One of the cool things is $20, you can literally get seats right behind the Cavs bench. It's a blast. Got a big shout out to
I got to go to Public Auditorium.
Booby Gibson game had Luke Travers and Amone Bates and who's the other guy? JT Thor. Tearing it up for the Cavs. And then they blew a 15-point fourth quarter lead.
They actually blew it.
Yeah. So one of the things that was a little weird, there's definitely a pecking order, and it felt like those three guys didn't want to pass to anybody but those three guys. Which was a little weird. Amone Bates definitely has put on a lot of muscle. Definitely in better shape.
Absolutely. He's transformed. I can tell he's been in the weight room.
Yeah. But his shot selection has not gotten any better, unfortunately. Now, it is the G League. They're working on their game. You know, they're trying to...
Wait. I thought Nomad's report was like he's 50% from three lately.
Well, I'm talking about the game I watched. Okay. He was definitely Chucky Bates. It was rough.
Well, and I mean, he is the offense for the G League team.
Yeah, well, no, Luke Travers is the offense. They run the whole offense through Luke Travers at point forward. And
that seems kind of stupid.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got good vision. He is a guy that we talked about earlier. He freezes. One of the things I love about the Cavs this year, and I think it speaks to what we talked about earlier, is that when they go on offense, they're always in motion. And it's when they freeze and the offense gets stagnant that they run into problems. I actually think they are much more dangerous when they are attacking in transition. When they get in, play that possession game at the end of the game, that's when Donovan Mitchell has more turnovers. It's when Darius Garland has more turnovers. When they get into the attack before the other team can even react, they are absolutely lethal.
That goes with every team. I mean,
But the Cavs are so much better at it than most other teams. And that has been the marked difference.
It's the opposite. The reason why the Cavs are dominating is actually because they can actually sport a decent offense in the half court.
Well, I think one informs the other, sure. Right? The pace at which they play with, it gets them so many more easy buckets.
Yeah, of course. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
And when they attack right away, they're so much better than when they walk it up. And when they...
I'm just saying that applies to every team, though. I'm just saying, like, that's not... What I'm trying to say is, like, if anything, what the Cavs do best is that they operate in the half court far superior than the average, which brings an offense... Like, I want to say, like, this... Like, I remember there was a stat during the Milwaukee Bucks run to the finals where basically their offense in transition was like at 120 or something, 120 offensive rating. Their offensive rating in the half court was like 80. So, like, there was a 40-point difference just getting Giannis in the transition versus in the half court in Drew Holiday at the time.
So how does that compare to the Cavs this season?
I want to say my guess is that the Cavs are probably somewhere closer to like 100 to 110 in half court, which is amazing.
Yeah, and maybe like close to 130 in transition.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, I see where you're coming from.
You see what I'm saying is that we're making up the bigger difference on the half court end instead of the transition end.
Okay, I see what you're saying. But to that point, one of the things that...
But the key is what you're saying is that because we run at a faster pace, we're getting so many more fast break opportunities.
Well, but it's also, I think, what we talked about is when they're in motion.
Yes,
And when they get into their sets quickly... Yeah. Before the defense has a chance to react, they're lethal.
Yes. It's because they're not running a play.
Right.
They're just creating in the moment and know the principles.
And they have specific motions they run and specific. Yeah.
Yep.
I think, you know, when they're playing like that, they're much harder to guard. Yeah. Than when they just get into high pick and roll over and over.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah.
And I saw some beautiful sets tonight where, like, they ran high pick and roll and then Wade cut baseline. And it was like Wade was cutting at the same time that Allen was cutting and Mitchell found him for the reverse. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Well, and so they actually talked about Kenny Atkinson instilled that cut into the offense in terms of what... What's interesting is that the conventional wisdom is don't have a guy cut to the basket when your guy is driving.
or rolling.
Right. Yeah, right, exactly. Because you're inviting all the defenders. But what they're doing, is, what they're exploiting is ball watching. The back door.
Well, right. And then there's also that whole thing from the triangle where you run baseline to baseline. So if that cut isn't going anywhere, that guy doesn't have to stay there. He'll run right out to the other corner.
Away. Yeah, right. Exactly. And he'll have an open three.
Yeah.
Corner three.
Yep. And if the corner he's running to is open, that guy will just move to the wing.
I'm glad you brought up the triangle, bro. Like, you liked that comment, didn't you? You love that shit. You were like, oh, yeah, Kenny, yeah, let's see some...
some hot triangle action.
Yeah. Yes.
You do it like, do it to me like Tex Winter. Dirty triangle talk. Like Bill Cartwright up there.
Oh my God. Oh, thank you for shouting out Texas. thank you for shouting out Texas because I got to give a shout out. This is my pitch, by the way. I'm going to do it now because you mentioned Texas. Shout out to Texas Christian University, Wright Divinity School. Shout out to Nathan Russell, pastor over at Washington Avenue Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Elyria, Ohio, Northeast Ohio. Shout out to Nathan and Riff Ram Bazoo. Give them hell, TCU.
Horned Frogs.
Texas, yeah, Horned Frogs, baby. Horned Frogs. You already know. Nathan knows.
So, and it's funny because the guy I went to the game with is Nate from Hope University. A CTB, okay. Longtime reader and commenter. Wow, that's actually how he was like, I heard you live in West Michigan, and we turned out we live like 5 miles apart. So,
hell yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but just getting back to the Cavs, because there was something I was saying. Oh, anyway, so Luke Travers, he freezes with the ball. His mental processing isn't there quite fast enough. But also the other issue is I'm not sure he's athletic enough of a finisher, and he's not a good enough shooter right now. Right. So he comes across as like a player that is really good for the G League, but might not. Like, he's on the edge for the NBA, so we'll see what another year of seasoning is going to do.
Basically, his path is Draymond Green.
He's got a couple paths. Like, if he could dial in that jumper, it's Joe Ingles, right?
Sure.
He's not big enough to be Dre.
He's pretty big. He's 6'8". Dre's 6'8".
Yeah, but Dre is just... He's fat. Big. I mean, maybe fat is the word.
I'm being pejorative. I'm only calling him fat because he's a Golden State Warrior.
Well, but also he's beefy. You know.
No, I get it.
You wouldn't call Luke Travers beefy. He's definitely got muscle, but
yeah, but he's not beefy.
There's nothing extra there, right?
No.
Right. You know, so we'll see what happens. I think he's still at least another year or two away. But you never know. I mean, they left Dean Wade in the G League for 2.5 or so years before he made the club.
That's what I was just going to say. If he pops, I bet it'll be like 28 years old.
Yeah. I don't know how old he is now. He's not that old, though.
Yeah.
So he's still got a year or two of seasoning. And then Amone Bates. I don't think this is the year. I think...
I agree with you. Yeah, the knee injury totally...
screwed him up. Yeah, and I think we'll see if he's going to give him anything next year. I'm just not sure that the offensive... if he is ever anything more than a taller, less good at ball handling Jordan Clarkson. Like, that.
No, I have high hopes for Amone.
Yeah,
I think that him transforming his body is obvious indication he's a gym rat.
Well, yeah, when you transform your body that well, you have to learn to play with that weight And especially if you're a shooter and a perimeter player.
How old is he?
I think he's 23 as well.
No, he's not 23.
I think he is. No Remember, chance. He was in college for 2 years.
Yeah, but he's
21. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so he's only 21. So.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah. Come on.
He's got a year or two. That's right. He went into college at 17.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's still got. We'll see what he can do next year. But
He's just getting started.
Yeah, I see him in the G League this year and probably next year too.
Next year, what you're going to see is the elite shooting. You're going to see the 3-and-D Iman first. That's what you're going to see. I guarantee you what you're going to see is 3-and-D Imani first.
Yeah.
He's going to come make a statement that way. And then what's going to happen is then he has the handle. The problem is, as exactly what you said, he has terrible decision-making through the pick and roll. So that's the problem. But yeah. if he could just get used to 3-and-D and secondary actions, dribble to the basket on secondary actions and make plays from that, and then build your game out from that. Then you start incorporating the DeAndre Hunter ISO game. You know, when you got a mismatch.
Yeah.
Do you interesting. Game? Yeah. So I have high hopes for Imani because he's a gym rat.
Well, I do think if there's a guy to model his game after, DeAndre Hunter is probably a good guy offensively for him to model his game after.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then let me, so the other thing I'll say is there's a reason they cut JT Thor. JT Thor, I wanted him. Just watch him in that one G League game. He is a center who wants to play small forward, but he doesn't have the skills to do it. And he just doesn't seem to want to box out, doesn't want to play center ball and do the dirty work. He wants to shoot pull up threes and doesn't want to bang. I watched him play some horrific defense that game.
Yeah, good riddance. If he's a
prima, well, I'm not going to say good riddance.
No, I mean, good riddance because that's a prima donna. No,
well, it's just it's also one game, but yeah, I think Tomlin's got a higher upside. Tomlin is going to be a guy that fits their pipeline better.
He makes probably 20 times my salary.
So, next up, final thing, do you think the Cavs keep that last roster spot open?
What's that deal? What's the deal with that? I don't get it.
Like, why they wouldn't fill it?
Yeah, why wouldn't they? I don't get it. Is it not filled right now by Javonte? Is Javonte Green on
10? He's the 14th man.
Oh, good.
No, I don't think he's on a 10-day. I think they signed him for the rest of the year.
Thank God.
Yeah. Okay, no, and you can't. There are no more 10 days anyway.
Oh, okay.
The other day was like the last day to sign a guy to a 10 days. So if they were going to sign somebody, it has to be somebody who wasn't on a roster, I think, like sometime coming up here in March. And so they could still potentially sign a guy from the NBL. Still Robert Covington sitting out there. I don't know if they sign a 15th guy. It may depend on health, right?
Yeah, I mean, I could see them signing a guy if they think they have some kind of specific need for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Not as a player, but just some specific need for some of the other guys. You know, like maybe they bring in a guy to mentor through a situation or a role, you know, but that's it. No.
That's actually why I like Robert Covington.
There you go. Exactly. No, I get you. I agree with you. Like, they could sign. So it's a non-zero chance they would sign somebody, right?
Yeah. I mean, they could, or they may want to save the money, but they should be under the apron.
So they're not signed. Okay.
No, they're under the apron. They have the room to sign a guy.
Yeah, but they're barely under.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it'll all work out. They'll figure it out. They won't do anything dumb, but yeah.
Yeah, they can't. Yeah.
Well, and then plus you can only roster so many players for the playoffs.
Exactly. Yeah. Is it only 12 for the playoffs?
I think it's 12 for each round.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Right.
So that, like, if you have guys get hurt, but you can swap them out between rounds.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But you can only roster 12 for a round.
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's what, or activate 12 for a round.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. I'll have to look that up on AI. Anyway, but yeah, there's an option, but I don't think it's anything crazy.
Yeah.
And then, so that's all we got this week. Who do the Cavs have coming up?
I don't know. That's a good question. I got lost in the sauce of today.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of sauce to get lost in.
Exactly.
I think they play the Hornets next.
As I drink my Guinness. Shout out there to you the go. Irish.
Hornets. They play the Hornets on Friday, and I think they're in Charlotte, which is always a weird game.
Yes. Because it's dead, and it'll be a lot of Cavs fans.
Yeah, but also they weirdly have weird things happen to them. Like, they had that one where Darius Garland got the technical a couple of years ago. Like, one of the worst calls of the last 5 years. Then they have...
Here's what's weird is they're actually trying to win games, but they've lost 5 in a row.
Well, and then they have the whole weird Mark Williams situation.
Yeah.
They got the
domestic abuser.
Yeah. God, Miles I hate that Bridges. Team.
Yeah.
And then they
clown,
got...
Yeah, LaMelo Ball, the clown, and who should be sued for reckless driving and should get his license revoked.
I don't know anything about that.
Oh, you don't know about that? Just Google LaMelo Ball driving. He drives like a jackass.
Oh, well.
He doesn't pay attention to any... He drives like he's in Grand Theft Auto. He doesn't pay attention to one lick of fucking traffic signs.
Oh,
he just drives like a moron.
You're killing me. I mean, I'm hoping this isn't a Bobby Phil situation.
It might be. No, it might be because, like, he ran over a kid's foot. He got sued. Geez.
Well, I got a traffic ticket this last weekend, so... I can't say anything.
Shame on you.
Well, I may be contesting it.
Well, good. You should. Screw them.
Anyway, so then Bucks on Sunday, big game. Could be a playoff second round preview.
Bucks are surging.
Yeah.
That's going to be a tough one. Bucks are surging.
Yeah, and it's in Milwaukee. So then we got
they're
Nets.
They're going to be ready for it. Yeah.
Nets Tuesday test. And then Grizzlies Friday.
Grizzlies are getting spanked right now by Oklahoma City. So they're frauds.
Oklahoma City spanking a lot of teams. Oklahoma City spanked the Cavs. So
yeah.
And then the Magic a week from Sunday. And then they go on that West Coast road trip.
Yeah, that's the toughie.
That's a toughie. It's a 5-game road trip.
That's tough. All West Coast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Clippers, Kings, Suns, Jazz, Blazers. So, yeah. Oh, they have a brutal Sunday at 3:30 in Salt Lake City. Like, that's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about just a sandwich game, if there was ever a sandwich game, that's it.
Yeah, no. The Cavs will end up with the most back-to-backs in the NBA.
Okay.
And they have 3 of them to end the last 9 games of the season.
That's crazy.
Insanity. Absolutely. Yeah. Adam Silver from prison. It doesn't even matter. But guess what? It doesn't even matter because the Cavs will still dominate anyway. We don't give a fuck.
Hey, you know what they say? They did not come to play. They came to dominate.
Yeah.
Dominate.
Yes. Let's go.
Yeah. I'm trying to. I had something I wanted to pitch all week, and of course, I get down to it.
Dude, come on, come through! It's clutch time.
Oh God, what am I going to pitch? I'm going to pitch. I'm going to pitch a band I've been listening to from the aughts, the Veils. Okay. Oh no! Now I know what I'm going to pitch. Okay. If you have not, I like the Veils, but this isn't as good. So I don't know if you're a Saturday Night Live fan. The 50th anniversary special was really good, 3 hours. But what was better, if you're a music fan, that you can watch on Peacock, is this SNL homecoming concert for the 50th anniversary special.
Yes.
Was freaking phenomenal.
Okay, you sold me. Okay. That was a great one.
So, first off, you've got... Let's just give... You've got David Byrne. David Byrne... Here's a duet, or a trio. It was David Byrne, the Arcade Fire, and St. Vincent.
Okay.
And, the band from New Orleans. What's that stupid band? The marching band. You know him if you heard it. Anyway, that's a song. Robin, who does Dancing by Myself or whatever, does Native Melody with David Byrne. Freaking incredible. You've got one of the greatest things I have ever seen on a concert show. Post Malone and Nirvana doing Post Nirvana is what they called it, and they did Smells Like Teen Spirit with the original members of Nirvana. Freaking incredible.
See, that means a lot that you would endorse it, because we were around for actual Nirvana.
Yeah, we were. And
but that you would actually co-sign that?
I'm
actually surprised.
No, I mean, it was incredible. Like, you know me, I am a pretty critical dude. Like, if there's bullshit out there, I'll call bullshit.
You're co-signing. This is crazy. I got to
No, it's really
shit,
it was really good. Yeah. So that was incredible. They had Eddie Vedder was there. They had who else did they have? There was only one bad moment from the whole. Oh, they had freaking Wyclef and Lauryn Hill were there. They had Bad Bunny. They had freaking T-Pain. I mean, it was murderer's row of great acts. Everybody in the like first 30 rows of the audience is a celebrity that they're panning to the whole time. Plus they did like comedy bits. Like they had the Will Ferrell and Anna Gasteyer where they're doing the, they're the music teachers that have a band that play at the Red Roof Inn. Like, it was great. Yeah. They had, all the SNL guys were there. I mean, it was Adam Sandler did a song. It was just, Adam Sandler did the song in the big special, but he did a little shout out. But yeah, it's incredible. And then, of course, the last act.
No, you're cutting in and out.
Oh, I am?
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. So can you hear me now?
Yep.
So the last act is freaking Jack White. And he covers my all-time favorite SNL performance, which was Neil Young doing Rockin' in the Free World, as just a, you know, to validate that we still have free speech in this country.
That's right.
And he does a mashup with that and Seven Nation Army, and it's freaking incredible.
All right.
It was so
nice. I got some appointment viewing.
It's on Peacock. Right. I don't know where else it is. Nice. I'm sure
gotta be YouTube somewhere.
Well, I'm sure or some other of many foreign streaming services.
There we go.
I do not endorse that, but there was only one bad act of the whole thing, and I won't even mention it because I don't wanna bring that energy here, but it was incredible. So I've been thinking about pitching
this. Look at you doing a growth, Nate.
A growth? What does doing a growth mean?
I don't know. Whatever that was. Whom shall remain nameless.
I mean, he tried.
There you go. Oh, we got a he.
Yeah, I mean, He tried.
That's all you have to say. He tried.
Yeah.
So. That's all we have to say about the rest of the NBA, bitches.
Yeah.
You tried.
Oh, Mumford and Sons. Yeah. Oh, the backing band is the freaking Roots. The B-52s. Bonnie Raitt. Chris Martin from Coldplay and Bonnie Raitt duetted on a song. Devo was there. They were freaking incredible. Eddie Vedder, David Byrne. Of course, Jack White, Backstreet Boys. Who else? Lady Gaga was incredible, and I don't even like Lady Gaga. Just a murderer's row of great. Oh, Preservation Hall Jazz Band. That was the jazz band I was thinking of. So yeah, it was pretty phenomenal. So check that out. Support the arts. Like if you're a Gen Xer like me, it was your one shining moment. So. Anywho.
Amen. Go Cavs, baby.
Go Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite bloggers. There's a fire.